Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke in for Joe Donahue. He is scheduled to return to the program and the station tomorrow morning. It is Tuesday. It is 11:34. That means it is time for book picks. Cheryl McKeown of the Bookhouse in Albany, New York, and Giovanni Boven from the Book Loft in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, join us with this week's book picks. Thank you both for being here. It's always great to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let us get to the titles. Cheryl, we'll start with you.
Thank you. I'm going to start with Beep by Bill Rohrbach. Now, Bill had written 11 novels, and he wanted to write a novel about climate change. He didn't want it to be ponderous or dour. Enter Beep, who narrates his eponymous novel, and you'll be surprised at how quickly you become fluent in Squirrel Monkey, as this endearing doomsayer moodles a warning. The planet is in trouble. On a quest for a queen in his Costa Rican jungle, he encounters young Inga, who's vacationing from New York, and she offers him a piece of pineapple. They fall in love, as a monkey and a young girl might do, and he finds himself camouflaged in a backpack of stuffies on a flight in a metal roarbird to Madhattan. As entertaining as Beep's urban escapades are, the message remains, especially during a guest appearance by Greta Thunberg, who, believe it or not, speaks monkey and sees the future. A liberation of the prisoners at the Bronze Zoo is one of the most exciting passages in this book. Humans aren't all bad, and Beep, in his gracious and humorous way, says we have a good prognosis if we'll listen to the sensitives among us. He does apologize at one point for monkey-splaining.
That's Beep by Bill Rohrbach. A novel, even though it did sound kind of like a children's book, a picture book, as you described it, but it is a novel by Bill Rohrbach called Beep. Giovanni.
All right. The first one I have, I am super excited about because this is by Elena Urquhart, who is the co-host of the podcast Morbid. And she wrote The Butcher and the Wren, which is a cat and mouse thriller based in New Orleans between the Bayou Butcher, Jeremy Rose, and Dr. Wren Muller, a medical examiner and one of the only people to escape from the Bayou Butcher. Now, her new book, The Butcher Game, comes out September 17th. And Jeremy brings his cat and mouse game north to the picturesque Berkshires.
Oh, cool.
So she features such local landmarks as the Great Barrington Fairgrounds, Ash and Tully Gardens, Lake Garfield, and even Railroad Street. And if you read the first book, this one is so much darker. There were points where I went just, oh, God. But, I mean, if you listen to Morbid, you know Ash and Elena, and if you've read The Butcher and the Wren, this one is just, it is so good. And I'm also excited to announce that she will be doing a talk at the Book Loft on September 22nd at 5:30. So make sure you pre-order copies through us and join us in September for the release of The Butcher Game.
The Butcher Game by Elena Urquhart, coming out on September 17th with an event a few days later at the Book Loft in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Thebookloft.com for more information. We'll mention that now. And of course, at the end of the segment, your next title, Cheryl.
This is my only nonfiction book, and it has a long title. Your caption has been selected more than anyone could possibly want to know about the New Yorker cartoon Caption Contest by Lawrence Wood. Now, even if you don't read The New Yorker from the back, starting at the last page to see what the new cartoon is and who won the cartoon contest, you will find plenty of laughs in this combination of 150 of the best New Yorker cartoons and a how-to manual written by the Ken Jennings of caption writing. Lawrence Wood shares his path to a record-setting 8 wins and offers writing tips. Not just for captions, but in general. For example, no exclamation points. Exceptions include fire and help. Bob Mankoff, who founded the contest in 1999, writes the foreword and gives some fun details about the last 25 years, including the numbers of entries, thousands and thousands, mm-hmm. and celebrities who have entered unsuccessfully. And that's a kind of fun tidbit. This is a great gift book for somebody who has a sense of humor, who reads The New Yorker, or who loves words.
Your caption has been selected more than anyone could possibly want to know about the New Yorker Cartoon Caption Contest by Lawrence Wood. Cheryl, let's have you do another one since you've brought more titles today.
We'll
distribute the time that way.
My next book is a novel, Soldier Sailor. This is a first-person narration of a mother known only as Soldier describing to her son, Sailor, her experience of motherhood. Her boundless love, her exhaustion, the loss of her professional identity, her deep disappointment in her husband's lack of support, and the patriarchal society that doesn't value women's work. And it reads like a thriller. I wondered if I was predisposed to loving this because I am a mother of two boys, and it was relatable to me. But I first heard of this book in a Colm Teuben interview, and he was praising Claire Kilroy and her work. And the cover quote is from Sebastian Barry. So I don't think you need experience to appreciate Soldier Sailor. She says, "Loving you was the hardest thing I've ever done and the easiest." She desperately wants him to know the depth of her love as well as her hope for his happiness. It's raw and warm. It's wicked. It's funny. It has a happy ending, and you will cry.
That's Soldier Sailor by Claire Kilroy. You had mentioned the audiobook version as
well.
Oh,
the audiobook is wonderful, yes. It's read by Simone Collins. It's completely immersible. It's really one of those where you want to sit in the driveway, as they say.
Driveway moments. We love them in public radio. So again, Soldier Sailor by Claire Kilroy, the audiobook read by Simone Collins, if you're interested in checking it out in that medium. Giovanni.
Next up, we have a contemporary fantasy that was released just last week. It is Dissonance by Sean Hamill. And dissonance is a form of magic fueled by negative emotion. So it's no surprise when four friends find themselves able to perform this dissonance. Hal, his mother bounces from job to job, has trouble keeping work, and struggles with alcoholism. Aaron is your typical popular, beautiful, blonde young woman, but she lives in a trailer park with her parents who fight every single night. Athena is beautiful and brilliant, but she is also one of the few black people in a small Texas town. So naturally, she's going to feel a little bit outsider. And finally, we've got Peter, who has been orphaned when his parents were killed in a car accident and is raised by his distant and eccentric grandfather. Now, bouncing between past and present narratives, we kind of get to see how this story unfolds, about how these four friends learn this dissonance and ultimately what ends up tearing them apart until 20 years later when there is an anniversary of a tragic accident that happened, and they come back together and try to right their wrongs of the past.
That's The Dissonance by Sean Hamill. Is The Dissonance this magic that they can harness an invention of Hamill's, or does it exist in a different fantasy realm?
As far as I could tell, it is an original form of magic.
Okay, that's what I thought too. I mean, I hadn't heard of it before. All right, again, The Dissonance by Sean Hamill. Cheryl?
Okay. I have a novel which was released about 3 weeks ago, The Lion Women of Tehran. Marjan Kamali is the author, and this is her third novel. It takes place from 1950s Tehran to 1970s New York City. It opens in Tehran in 1950 when 7-year-old Ellie and her mother, after her father passes away, are forced to move from their upper-class home down to a different neighborhood. And her mother is mired in grief and pride, hardly leaves the house, but Ellie, at 7 years old, longs to make friends. On the first day of her new school, she meets Homa, a confident, bubbly local girl, and they become fast friends, much to her mother's dismay, because these are people from, as we would say, the wrong side of the tracks. The girls spend hours together. They dream of their futures when they will become lion women, bold, courageous, and successful. They're friends throughout their school years. Cultural traditions do affect their friendship, as does the turbulent history of Iran, which Kamali, born in Turkey to Iranian parents, writes with accurate historic detail. As young women, Ellie and Homa become estranged when Ellie commits a really grievous, life-altering mistake. Years pass. Political upheaval impacts the young women vastly differently. And years later, their girlhood friendship reemerges in a very surprising twist. Decades later. This is excellent historic fiction. It made me want to really learn more. Much of my memory is gone about Iran in those years. And she presents it so beautifully, and we really care about the power of friendship between these two women.
That's The Lion Women of Tehran by Marjan Kamali. The Lion Women of Tehran by Marjan Kamali, and our list posted online at WAMC.org. Giovanni, your next title, please.
Next up, this one comes out next Tuesday. It is A Mask of Flies by Matthew Lyons. This hits the ground running. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat, we are mid-bank heist, where things go from this is working out to now bullets are flying.
Yeah.
And it follows Anne Heller, a career criminal, and her life is turned upside down by this heist gone wrong. And she ends up fleeing with an injured partner and a police officer that she takes hostage and flees to the one place she swore she would never return to, and that is her mother's cabin in the Colorado Rockies. She hopes to lie low, figure things out, get her partner, who's been shot and isn't doing too well, some kind of help, or at least make him comfortable. That does not go as planned either. There is something that has caught her scent and starts leaving a trail of bodies in her wake as it pursues her. Ultimately, her past catches up with her, and it is carnage.
Oh, goodness.
But it is such a good, fast-paced read.
That's A Mask of Flies by Matthew Lyons, coming out next Tuesday, A Mask of Flies. Cheryl?
I have a book that is new in paperback, but which came out about a year and a half ago. It came out just in time for vacation reading, and it's perfect. No Two Persons by Erica Bauermeister. It was released in paperback, as I said, this month, and No Two Persons is really an homage to books and where they can take us. Alice is a shy young author. She has wanted to write a novel, but she didn't think she had it in her until a tragedy occurs in her life, and she decides that this is the time she can now write a book. Her book goes out into the world, and we follow it. We marvel at its impact on different readers. A homeless teen, a free diver who really pushes himself to go deeper and deeper, a grieving widower, a frustrated artist. And at first it seems like we have barely connected short stories of these different readers. And then we realize that Erica has included connections. And when we start to find those connections, we feel grateful not only to have gotten to know these different readers, but for the power of books. Alice, the author, is amazed, and she marvels at the end over the magic that her novel has created.
Fantastic. No Two Persons by Erica Bauermeister is now out in paperback. It came out last year and is available in paperback now. Once again, it's No Two Persons by Erica Bauermeister. Giovanni.
All right, another pre-order. This one is released next week. Blood Like Mine by Stuart Neville. This is not the book you think it is, especially when it starts out. It is a story about a mother's love and the obsession of an FBI agent and one little girl trying to cope with what was done to her and how she has been irrevocably changed. Now, Rebecca Carter was 16 when she got pregnant, 17 when she gave birth to her daughter, Moonflower, and 29 when Moonflower was attacked, changed forever. Now, they're always moving, attracting as little attention as possible. And, of course, Rebecca starts to lose her cool in stressful situations, inadvertently drawing more unwanted attention than she means to. Meanwhile, we've got Special Agent Mark Donner, who's pursuing a serial killer with a very peculiar victim profile, generally men who prey on children. And so the primary belief within the agency is they're scum. Don't worry about it. Don't pursue it. Somebody's doing us a favor. But him being by the books goes, it is my job to bring these people to justice, not some vigilante. So you see how these two groups of people kind of relate in this story. And again, it's not the story you're thinking it is. It makes you think it's this, and then you get to this other point and you're going, oh, it's that kind of a story. Uh-huh. Okay. So definitely one for fans of like a twisty thriller horror novel that you just kind of, it takes a 180.
Okay. And obviously you can't say more or you'd be spoiling it. And exactly. that's not the goal.
Right.
Blood Like Mine by Stuart Neville will be published next week. Blood Like Mine by Stuart Neville. Cheryl, what's next for you?
Well, my next book is not part of a theme. I didn't really plan this. I don't know that Beep and Bad Monkey have even met, but Bad Monkey by Carl Hiaasen came out in 2013. And he's written 15 novels for grown-ups, which probably all of you know, plus nonfiction, a series, a charming mystery series, great fun, for middle readers. And when someone comes to our shop and says, my husband is sad, he's depressed, he's anxious, I need something to make him laugh out loud, I just go directly to Carl Hiaasen, and I think it always works. I know it does in my house. Mm-hmm. So Bad Monkey, I'm bringing, published in 2013, because it is going to be an Apple TV series, I hope I have that right, starting in about 3 weeks, I believe. I cannot wait to see what television does for Bad Monkey. This is, as all of his books are, they're not predictable, but they are. They're formulaic. They're all set in South Florida. They all have a clear good guy, bad guy theme. They all have something madcap, zany, gleeful, and incisively sharp. He very often has environmentalism as a theme, but he doesn't hit us over the head with it. Bad Monkey, like Skinny Dip, Razor Girl, Squeeze Me, all of the other Hiaasen titles, is delightful fun. So you can maybe read it first. We have it in the bookstore.
Bad Monkey by Carl Hiaasen, a favorite at the station. Joe and he talk about most of his books when they come out, and they have great rapport. And you were correct, Bad Monkey on Apple TV Plus, starring Vince Vaughn and Natalie Martinez, coming out soon on yet another streaming service, Apple TV Plus, an adaptation of Carl Hiaasen's book, Bad Monkey. Giovanni.
All right. Next up, again, another horror novel, because I am a huge fan of horror.
Yeah.
But this one is a little different. I find it is the perfect summer camp story that will probably convince you never to go camping again, but also at the same time takes a look at a very topical subject, which is cancel culture, but from the other side. So this is Heads Will Roll by Josh Winning, and this follows the star of a hit Netflix series called We Love Willow, who ends up getting canceled after posting a tweet, a three-word tweet that ends up going viral, and her show's canceled, she starts receiving death threats, her fiancé leaves her, and she stumbles about 3 weeks later, blind drunk, into a pool where her agent fishes her out and says, okay, we got to do something. So she finds this place called Camp Castaway, which is basically like a technology social media rehab clinic. It's out in the woods. It's all rustic cabin, no technology whatsoever, very meditative, kind of grounding, focusing on, you know, reconnecting with yourself and disconnecting from social media in general. And again, this is from the perspective of someone who has been canceled and starts receiving death threats. So I find that part very important in cancel culture, of how far you take it. And there is such a thing as too far. Now, the part that'll make you never want to go camping again is that there is an axe-wielding serial killer who starts picking off the campers one by one.
That'll do it.
And, of course, it's got that classic urban legend of Knock Knock Nancy, who was a woman in the 1800s who may have had an affair with a priest and was killed. Her head was never found. And if you hear knock, 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 that's Nancy looking for her head. Like all urban legends, there is a grain of truth to this one as well. So that, again, Heads Will Roll, Josh Winning, perfect summer camp read. I loved it. I read it in a day.
Great. Heads Will Roll by Josh Winning for your thriller, like scary camp summertime needs. Cheryl.
I think my next book is sweet and light compared to Giovanni, although it has a thriller aspect. And this comes out on September 17th, available to pre-order at any local independent bookstore. It is by Laura Dave, the author of The Last Thing He Told Me. And there's probably nobody who's been in a bookstore in the last 2 years who doesn't know The Last Thing He Told Me. Very, very successful New York Times bestseller, everybody's bestseller. And also a made-for-TV miniseries. The Night We Lost Him by Laura Dave, like The Last Thing He Told Me, is the story of a family, and there is a mystery. The brother and sister in The Night We Lost Him have been estranged because their dad had three families. Everybody was civil, but they weren't very close. And dad suddenly dies one night in a fall from a cliff at his California beachside home. It's been ruled accidental, and the narrator, Nora, one day hears from her estranged brother, whom she hasn't seen for 5 years, and he says, "You know this isn't true. And you need to come with me, and we need to find out what happened." And Nora is grief-stricken and sad, and she says, "Can we just leave it?" And then she says, "No, no, we can't." So Nora and her brother do investigate. It's a very interesting format. I want to be careful here not to tell you too much, but it's a back and forth from their dad's past that they don't know, but we as the reader do. Mm. The suspense sustains to the very end. It's really beautifully done. We really care about all of these people.
The Night We Lost Him by Laura Dave, which will be published September 17th, just a little over, well, about a month and a half from now. The next book that you want to mention, Giovanni, God of the Woods by Liz Moore, is the hit of the summer. Everybody's talking about this one.
It is. A lot of people have been ordering it and buying it. It was our former children's book buyer Sherry's staff pick. It did come out at the beginning of the summer. And this one is a kind of 1970s camp story. So less dark than Heads Will Roll.
Mm-hmm.
But it follows Barbara Van Laar is discovered missing from her summer camp bunk in the morning of August of 1975. And it triggers a terrified panic search. As she's not just a camper. She is the daughter of the owners of the camp and the opulent nearby estate, including most of the land in sight. And this isn't the first time a Van Laar child has gone missing, as her older brother went missing 16 years earlier, never to be found again. So, historical family saga, kind of family thriller, summer camp story all rolled into one. Again, probably a lot lighter than my previous picks, but it has been a very popular seller at the store.
Absolutely. That's mm-hmm. God of the Woods by Liz Moore. Cheryl, can you do your last one in less than a minute?
I think so.
Okay.
This is a sequel to Northern Spy, another Irish book by Flynn Berry, and it's entitled Trust Her. It's the story of, as was Northern Spy, two sisters in Northern Ireland. One of them is an informant, and when Northern Spy ends, they're liberated, they're free, they don't get in the big trouble they could have, and in the beginning of Trust Her, they are in Dublin. They have new identities, they think all is well, but the IRA finds them.
Goodness. That is Trust Her by Flynn Berry. Lists are posted online at WAMC.org. To learn more about the bookhouse in Albany, New York, visit BHNY.com. The Book Loft is, of course, in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, and online at TheBookLoft.com. Thank you both, as always, for being here.
Thank you.
It was wonderful fun. Thank you.
Once again, the lists are online at WAMC.org/roundtable, and you are listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.